T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's Embiid. Shot clock down to 5. Wants to take Jokic. Step back 3. Hit it! 47 for Joel. Timeout, Denver.
Maybe Joel's finest moment of the season. Welcome back. It is the Mayday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. That was the last time Jokic and Embiid went head-to-head. They do it again tonight out in Denver. Who knows? Maybe an MVP is decided this evening. Let's get to our next guest. We'll go back to the phones here and have our discussion about Joel. But first, let's talk to Zach Bye, 104.3, the Fan in Denver. He's joining us. Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio out in Philadelphia. How you doing, Zach?
Zach.
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Monday, boys.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday. So, Zach, I feel like being a little hot takey right now. So, who is the MVP going to be decided tonight between these two guys?
Well, you guys got to help me. Is Joel Embiid going to play tonight?
Of course he is. You
He'll
don't think
play.
So?
He'll
yeah,
play.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if assuming good health and that calf doesn't hold him out, I do think that tonight could decide the MVP. I mean, us as people have recency bias. You know, you think of even last year's NFL MVP. It was neck and neck with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and Brady has a total blow-up game down the stretch of the season where he throws 4 interceptions. Rodgers had the same game, but it came in week 1. And that ended up splitting the two, according to the odds, that Monday morning when we woke up. And despite Joel Embiid severely outplaying Nikola Jokic in the last matchup on national TV, where I think he went for 47 and 18, something like that, and just totally took over the second half of that game, I think people will remember tonight just a little bit more in focus than they remembered that game in January. And, guys, tonight I believe that game's on NBA TV, so a lot of eyeballs are going to be on that game coast to coast. So I think it could have a heavy hand on that scale in deciding the MVP.
Zach, do you sense there is a push or a feeling that we really can't give Nikola Jokic 3 consecutive MVPs? Do you guys feel that out there, that nationally they're looking to not give the award to Jokic again?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I certainly feel that. I'm the biggest basketball guy at the station, and trying to explain that there is that sentiment to my co-host, Brandon Stokely, saying that, hey, Stoke, like, look, again, human beings are voting on this thing, and it's basketball people voting on this, okay, that cast those votes with integrity and take themselves and that vote pretty seriously. They do not feel good about voting him MVP 2 consecutive years and going 1-8 in playoff games. Now, of course, guys, context is king, okay? Jokic's team wasn't nearly whole. No Michael Porter Jr., no Jamal Murray. Those are two max players. Like, take the two next best players off Philly, and what chance do you have? It's a team sport. But that being said, again, people don't feel good about it, that you're going to put him in the same class as Larry Bird and Bill Russell when he hasn't been to an NBA Finals before. The Nuggets in general have never been to an NBA Finals in their franchise history. So I think the past is playing a role in the present, even though we're supposed to have the wisdom to view the present in a total vacuum, because this is a regular season award, and sins of the playoff past should not be held against Jokic in this conversation. But the fact of the matter is that they will to certain voters.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that he's probably potentially not going to win his third MVP because he hasn't made it out of the first round? Basically, that's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that it bothers voters that they voted this guy for MVP, and each of the last 2 years he hasn't been out of the first round. He's been to the Western Conference Finals, but you got to go back 3 seasons. So I think it bothers voters that the guy that they're saying is the league MVP hasn't been able to advance out of the first round, and that just rubs people the wrong way when they're about to cast that vote for a third consecutive year. Mm. I think the past is a part of the present.
So it has nothing to do with the dad bod or the way the punchable face or anything like that, because I've heard a few people say that was the issue as well.
Yeah, hey, look, this one has gotten contentious to a degree that I don't think is healthy for the sport. I mean, if you are watching Jokic, and I'm a big league pass guy. I watch Embiid. That guy is freaking fantastic and having what feels like a Shaquille O'Neal type of season. But Jokic, if you have eyes on it and you know what you're looking at, I think only maybe a healthy LeBron James completely controls a game on the offensive end the way that Jokic does. I mean, we're talking about a 50-win team with a handful of games left. He's, you know, averaging 25, 12, and 10. He averages more steals on the other end than, you know, all NBA defender Drew Holiday or even James Harden. Think about that. You guys watch Harden every night. Jokic averages more steals than Harden. And I get the frustration from fans and the way that it sort of took a little bit of an ugly turn a couple weeks ago. But I'll say this, man, I am not in the business of pushing someone's head down to raise someone else's. We are seeing historic seasons across the NBA with Jokic, with Embiid, with Giannis at the very top. But there's three or four other guys that are having under-the-radar historic seasons. The NBA in general is crossing into new territory where we're seeing numbers that we've never really seen before. So I think we're seeing – and think about this, guys. It wasn't too far long ago. It was like the death of the center in the NBA. The three leading vote-getters – I know Giannis isn't so much of a traditional center, but they're three centers, and they're three great players. And I think this thing could fall any of three different ways, really maybe two at the top. And I think the backstretch of this season, these last seven, eight games, still are being put on the scale of this really, really actually historic MVP race. Probably the closest we had in about 5 years.
We're talking to Zach Bye, 104.3, the fan out in Denver, as we talk about the MVP race. And, of course, tonight, Jokic against Embiid, big game for both teams. So, Zach, how do you qualify this? Because I think as when we say MVP in every sport, we all have a different meaning to that, right? Our brains go to a different area, and it's why we prop up one guy versus the other. And I'm looking at the three of them in front of me here, all their numbers. And if you, depending on what your criteria is, you could give it to either, right? Jokic has the most rebounds, the best, you know, at numbers, terms of percentages, shoots the highest percentage, most efficient. And Embiid's got the best counting stats. Giannis, when he's played some less games, but he has the highest winning percentage when he's played, and his team is the best. Zach, what is the, for you, forget Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid, just what is the NBA MVP for you?
Holy moly. I mean, what a wide open-ended question. We could do a half-hour podcast on this. For me, I think it's who has the most direct line for their personal success that leads to team success. And with all three of these guys, they have a pretty strong case. And so I think I personally put the, like, if I were creating an MVP argument, I would think of like four legs of a chair. And one of them is your success and that direct line to team success. And then I look at your stats, your raw stats. And then I'll look at your advanced stats. And then I look at the eye test. And I think for those things, and particularly when the advanced stats start to come into play, where you look at usage rate, and Jokic has the ball far less than a lot of these guys, but produces to an even higher level. You look at on-off numbers. How does your team play when you're not out there? How does your teammates do around you? I'm looking at four Denver Nuggets having the most efficient seasons of their careers playing next to this guy. I'm looking at just general efficiency. Think about this. You guys watch Embiid all the time, just like I do. Embiid puts the ball in the hoop a lot, man. That guy is really efficient on the offensive end. Jokic is shooting nearly 10 percentage points higher. And then when you look at true shooting percentage, you're talking about someone who's shooting over 70% from the floor. Guys, we've never seen that before, like ever. And this is a non-dunker. This is a guy who might dunk one time a game. So for all of those reasons, I have Jokic as the league's MVP, number one seed in the Western Conference, averaging a triple-double. Like, think about that statement. Jokic is averaging a triple-double for a 50-win one seed. That's a really hard statement to push back on, but that doesn't mean you can't give it pushback. Because Embiid has been phenomenal. He's a better defender than Jokic. I give him that. But the full comprehensive picture, I still have Jokic's season just a barely tick better than Embiid and Giannis. But I think reasonable minds truly can disagree on this one.
Well, you know, I have a question for you. You know, watching as much basketball as you do, is this team, this Sixers team right now, presently constructed, do you think that they have enough to win a championship with?
No. And my answer to that, it has less to do about Joel Embiid and more about historically what the Sixers' second best player looks like when everything's on the line. James and Zach Lowe did a deep dive from this from ESPN, did a deep dive of all the high leverage moments of James Harden's entire career. He is arguably the worst version of himself the higher the leverage moment gets. And I would be deeply concerned about that if I'm a Sixers fan. I like the Sixers. Take away October, and they're probably the best team in the NBA. But I question, when the slate gets wiped clean and the whole world is watching, who James Harden is in those moments. And then conversely, let me put the shoe on the other foot, fellas. Mm. I'm deeply concerned about the Nuggets. Is Jamal Murray the second best player on a title team? I know the history of this league. Your second best player on a title team is at bare minimum, an all-NBA player, if not a Hall of Famer. And fellas, 3 out of 4 times, your second best player on a title team is, in fact, a Hall of Famer. Their names are Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade and Pau Gasol or Kobe Bryant in the early 2000s. Whoever was Robin that year for Tim Duncan, whether it was David Robinson or Kawhi Leonard or Manu or Parker, like, you go through the history of this league, you need top-tier blue-blood talent at your core. Jamal Murray's never made an All-Star game. So I had serious questions about Denver's championship profile the same way that I have questions about Philly's profile.
Zach, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Tonight's going to be fun. Sixers and the Nuggets out west tonight. Zach, appreciate it. We'll chat again soon. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Okay. Okay, Sal.